Well, I just entitled this simply, What is Heaven Like? A lot of people preach about hell, but not too many people preach on heaven. However, there are people who wrote about their experiences in heaven, and this is my opinion only. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody else who has this opinion. I don't know how much credence I put on people writing books about heaven. Because anything you want to know about heaven is in this book. So, if I do read a book, and I've skimmed through some, I read it like a novel. John 14. That doesn't mean you can't read it. You can believe every word that's in it. Maybe you're starting to write one. John 14. What is heaven like? People love heaven, what they know about it, and some are dying to get there. Just don't go too soon. You have work to do down here. And by the way, you're not going to be on some big hammock up there with somebody feeding you grapes. And you're not going to be strumming a harp. And he may have a couple of you strumming a harp, but why aren't you doing it here? And it's not going to be a place of inactivity. God's for activity. So if you think you're going up there and it's like going to Bermuda and you're just going to have vacation basking in the sun, wrong conception. Now, I don't recommend, just because that's, you know, I blew your perception, that you go down the other place. You think it's bonfires here? You think it's hot out here on Hallelujah Night? John 14, are you there? Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Okay, no believers in here. That's Jesus speaking. He said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many shacks. If it were not so, it says mansions, by the way. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. By the way, those mansions will be debt-free. So why are you going in debt when you're going to get a mansion debt-free? Well, Pastor, someone told me that I just should get whatever I want, and then when I get raptured, the Antichrist will pay for it. With that attitude, you'll be helping him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let's go on down to verse 6. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Now, anybody else is trying to tell you they got a way. Jesus saith unto him, I am a way. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've seen, this has been years, maybe a couple of years back, but, you know, sometimes Larry King would have some, you know, I watch them once in a while. I don't step now and watch those talk shows. I don't buy them. They're pretty political. But Larry King would ask some ministers, what about the Muslims? Will they go to heaven? And they just choke. You see that? Anybody else see that? Never. Not one person ever saw a minister being interviewed by whoever. Not one. I find that hard to believe. What do you watch? Just comedy now? Because I know you got away from football. Okay, Freddie, let me just tell you what's happened if you've never seen it. Lot really are embarrassed to answer it because they feel they'll be ridiculed. And some will be specific. Do you think the Muslims are going to heaven? Well, you know, that's not for me to judge. And why are you preaching? Do you think the Hindus are going to heaven? You're not judging them anyway. All you got to say, in the beginning, God. Then all the way from Genesis to the end of the book, there's a scarlet red portraying the blood of Jesus. And just give him this scripture. He says he's the way. Buddha didn't die for anybody's sins. Now you can believe in Buddha all you want. Get a couple Buddha dolls if you want. I'm teasing about that. I asked one individual to please get rid of his Buddha dolls. Because you don't know what comes with them. But you know what? If you're going to stand for the gospel, then, you know, if that guy's doing that on purpose. These people have researchers. So if you're going on there, you better be ready for questions. They're going to be to throw you off, to make you uncomfortable, because nobody wants to say that on national TV, but you should say it. There are people preaching on TV that say it. John Hagee, he ain't ashamed to say anything. You know what I mean? So I don't know why we got sidetracked on that. I just want to let you know that when you're called to preach the gospel and you're asked uncomfortable questions, you should answer them in a loving way and say, look, there's time for everybody to repent and get saved. Jesus died for everyone. And that's the plan of redemption. Okay, since everybody busted their TV since NFL boycott against the national anthem, I guess I'll let you know that. I won't repeat it again, so I won't stand up here and be embarrassed with no hands going up. Colossians chapter 3. I know what happened. When those talk shows were on, you were watching your favorite program as the stomach turns. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or that word affection's mind, on the things above, not on things on this earth. All right, let's look over to 2 Corinthians. Give you some background about heaven. And by the way, your learning does not stop once you leave here. There'll be classes in heaven. You'll learn more. And get that picture of the hammock out of your mind. You'll be laying on a hammock, swinging back and forth. And your wife, first of all, you won't be married. So whoever be feeding you the grapes, you'd be cheating if you were married. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's just jump down to verse 1 of chapter 5. For if we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God in a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How'd you like that? Philippians chapter 3. This isn't all there is. Amen. Some people believe that. I don't know if they really believe it, but they say that. Philippians chapter 3. Aren't you glad that you have a blessed hope? Yes. And I'm going to tell you something. No sickness, no pain, no disease, no shortage. Isn't that wonderful? Philippians 3, look to verse 20. For our conversation, or the Greek is our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Such a perspective is the very essence of true faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11. Thank God for that. Those with true biblical faith knowledge that they are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That's all. They're just passing by. That's all, you and I are just passing by. Just passing by. We're sojourning. That's the word. Look over to 11, Hebrews 11. Look to verse 13, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. How about that? Amplified says temporary residents. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, Amplified says, in search of a fatherland. Then 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Comment, Judson Cornwall. He says that over his past 45 years of pastoring and teaching, the gospel, he found several misconceptions of heaven. And these misconceptions are firmly fixed in the minds of Christians. So we'll try to uproot them today. And I'm only going to give you a few of them, okay? But one of these is a simple statement that heaven or hell is what you make of it on earth yourself. So heaven or hell, some people think that. You've talked to them. It's what you make of it, of life right here on earth. This asserts that you make your own heaven, and this asserts that you make your own hell. Isn't that right? That is very prideful, to think that any of us is big enough to create our own heaven or hell. Misconception. So that's a false thing. Heaven is not created by man. Heaven is created for man. It is not the high point of his present existence. It is a residence for his eternal existence. Man does not earn it. He merely enters into it by accepting Jesus Christ. The second misconception some Christians have about heaven is that it's merely an extension of this life. It's only located somewhere else. Second misconception. In their understanding, nothing changes but the location. Now, if this were true, who needs heaven? Let's simply regain access to the tree of life and live our lives here forever. That's a misconception. The third misconception is that heaven is a place of inactivity. The inhabitants sit on fleecy clouds, strum harps, and sing hymns. It's a time of eternal rest, a perpetual vacation. But man was made for activity, not inactivity. Perpetual leisure is not God's plan. A fourth misunderstanding is that heaven is a place of perpetual praise and worship. One continuous watch night service. Not true. Heaven is filled with praise and worship, but it's also filled with activity in addition to worship. Some think heaven is a place of complete knowledge. No. We'll continue to learn even in heaven. You might get the Apostle Paul for a class. Some of you may get me for a class, but I will stamp reject. I say I had them for a year. No, I'm just teasing there. I'm going to learn some more too. The New Testament Greek ouranos references the heights, that which is raised up. The Old Testament word and New Testament word are used to delineate three separate areas of the heavens, because there are three. First, it speaks of the atmospheric heaven. The atmospheric space that immediately surrounds the earth. It's the air we breathe. First heaven. It's where the birds fly. The second is the celestial heavens. That's the canopy of stars used to overwhelm the shepherd king, inspiring David to write and sing Psalm 19. Let's look back there. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Psalm 33, 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. The next one is what we call the third heaven. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There's so much in here about heaven. I don't know why you'd want to read another book. Amen? Amen. But you do as you please. Because you do as you please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. It was from this third heaven that the Son of God descended to the earth to take on himself the former man. And it was into this heaven that he ascended after the resurrection. You can see this in Acts chapter 1. We're going okay, slow enough. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Isn't that good to know? It's from this third heaven that the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord in Acts chapter 2. And it's into this third heaven that the saints will ascend at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, known as the rapture. So we got the three heavens. You remember the account of the rich man and Lazarus? I like to go there in Luke 16, if you want to turn over there. But the rich man and Lazarus, even to today, as far as I know, no one knows his name. Do you know it? Okay. We do know that he was a very wealthy individual who dressed lavishly in purple linen, and enjoyed banquets in the private dining hall, feasting daily. Look to Luke 16. Watch the reversal. Luke 16. Now just the fact that he was rich doesn't disqualify him from heaven. It's what he did with his riches, okay? Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain man, I'll read the whole thing, then we'll break it down. There was a certain rich man, so you know that's a fact when it says a certain, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, there is a great gulf between us. There was a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, he's praying, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now he wants to become an evangelist all of a sudden, because we have four brothers there, or five brothers. For I have five brethren that may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him of them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Isn't that something? Without warning, this rich man was suddenly found dead in the pit of hell. Well, actually, he was found dead in his house and then carried off in hell. And he was actually alive. You know, that's why they use sleep in the Bible a lot of times. And living in another world, it's a strange dimension, a rather mysterious realm identified as Sheol or Hades. Although his body was buried, his soul and spirit operated with all five senses, recalling his past life well, remembering his prosperity, and remembering that a beggar at the gate of his house died of starvation, while he, being rich, had willfully ignored the poor fellow's plight. This rich man had a request to send to the poor man back from the dead to the house of the former rich man, to warn his brothers not to come to this place. Look to verse 28. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. His prayer was never answered, church. Now, the verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's contrast and compare the rich man and Lazarus. Now, this is not Lazarus, the one that Jesus raised from the dead. They're not even related, okay? The prayer of the former rich man was, please don't come where I am, in referencing to his five brothers. Then there was the beggar. His earthly life was one of continuous misery. The only friends this feeble and penniless man had were dogs. Well, you know, that's not a bad deal. It appears that the rich man and the beggar died about the same time. The rich man closed his eyes in death and woke up in a world of heat, flames, and torment. There is a place as hell. You're not going there, right? The old beggar received a personal escort of angels to the place of comfort where he personally met the patriarch of the Hebrew faith, Abraham. Consequently, where he was is known as Abraham's bosom. Also, I believe it's known as paradise. Not purgatory. Both the unrighteous and the righteous before Christ's crucifixion went into the lower chambers under the mountains, and there was a great chasm between the upper level where the righteous dwelt, Abraham's bosom, and the lower chambers called hell. Let's go to Ephesians 4 quickly and see what Jesus did. Ephesians 4, is that what I said? Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, from the time of Adam all the way up and including Matthew, Mark, Luke, and where the dividing line is, I don't know, because Matthew, Mark, even though it's New Testament, they're still under the Old Covenant. All those departed souls went into a place known as Abraham's bosom. And this is where Jesus went and he preached to them. Maybe he preached the gospel to them. Maybe he preached he was a Messiah. And after he's done, he led those that had descended up to the third heaven, okay? A lot of people he took up with him. The other ones were left in a place called Hades or hell. Now, there was a great gulf between them, but you couldn't cross over. In other words, if you die without Christ, there's not a second chance. Where some people may get purgatory is this place called paradise that is empty. I don't know, but that's giving people a second chance, but there isn't any. And I think we should tell people the truth so they know. Absent from the body, if you're saved, is present with the Lord. Absent from the body without the Lord is present in hell. Something like our bonfire. Some people wish it would be, huh? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that I might fill all things. Remember Hebrews 9:27 said, it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There are three worlds. Two are unseen. One is seen. Look to Philippians chapter 2. I might rephrase that there. We don't see the third heaven. Astronauts probably saw the second heaven. Well, that won't have any impact on your salvation, so. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Well, if we're doing it that way, then we don't see the things in heaven or the things under the earth. We see just the one visible, the earth. That's where we're living now. Pinch yourself, say, we live on earth. Things in earth are living, including human beings. Things in heaven include God, Christ, and the angels, souls and spirits of departed men and women. Things under the earth include chambers where fallen angels are bound in chains of darkness while waiting for the day of judgment, plus departed lost souls and spirits of the departed men and women. Look at Psalm 102. Is this too much? It's too much for me. A lot of stuff, huh? Amen. We're just beginning. Here's the title so you'll know the day before the rapture. What is heaven like? That's what we'll be studying. Psalm 102 and verse 19. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. The word glory is sometimes used as an expression of heaven. Look to Acts chapter 7, and then I'm going to close with this. Remember years ago, like Charles Neiman said, we went 90-minute tapes to 30-minute. Hey, that's the truth. We did that. But you know what? There weren't word churches around in, and people were hungry for the word. Now you got it 24/7, right? And a lot of you people leave here, go right home and read your Bibles. Were you listening to the CD on the way home? I didn't get all that. I should listen to the CD. Hey, I've been studying this for 2 weeks and I didn't get it all. Acts chapter 7, look at 55. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. This is Stephen. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Can I talk to some of you who have a hard time forgiving themselves? Stole the Tootsie Roll when you're 5 and you're still beating yourself up. Or a pack of Lucky Strikes from your local gas station when you were 11, you're still beating yourself up. It's a good thing because they'll beat you up. You smoke those Camels of Lucky Strikes, your head will float around. That's an Uncle Petey smoked. And he floated around. Where were we, Tim? Oh, it's okay. We were closing down. Oh, well, look who's there. Saul. He murdered Christians. This guy, Saul, got born again. He became the Apostle Paul, writing almost two-thirds of the New Testament. A murderer. And some of you are mad at Jesus for forgiving him. No wonder you can't forgive yourself for that Tootsie Roll. This stuff's big. Saul's a murderer, killing Christians. He didn't say he was killing Jews. He was killing Christians. He was a Jew. He may have been killing Jews, too. Who knows? And he writes almost two-thirds of the New Testament. Talk about the Lord taking the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. This man was educated, though. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice. This is Stephen. This isn't Jesus saying this for you who can't forgive anybody. Yeah.